You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. Tonight, we are talking the match. Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to see you.
What's up, boys? Nice to be back. And I am alive. Just been keeping it on the down low a little bit. Yeah, working on my game. And I'm a solid 8.5 handicap right now. So we're trending in the right direction.
I'd love to hear it. Greg Ducharme is here. Gregers, hey, bud.
What's going on, boys? I've not been working on my game, but enjoyed a little bit of golf tonight. I thought it was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Kyle Porter is here taking a break from mass production. Kyle, mass shipping. The warehouse is behind you. Stickers and boxes and books and cards and everything else going out of the shed there.
Yeah, so 12 days of Christmas. I need to have some more kids between now and like 2 weeks from now when I ship these out to get them boxed up and out of here. But no, tonight was fun. It was. I mean, is it like the you know, U.S. Open? No, but it was fun and entertaining. I've got some thoughts on just kind of how the night went, who I thought actually was the most compelling person at the event. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Scheduled for 12 holes, Mark, didn't take all 12, only took 10. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth find victory. Kind of easily. They get up early on the second hole. They extend it to 3 up by the time they finish 4. And they really never look back in this thing.
Yeah. But I want to echo what Kyle said. I think honestly, of the few I've watched, this was by far and away the most entertaining. I think JT sort of made the show a little bit. You know, he wasn't afraid to say what was on his mind and sort of act a little bit like, you know, boys will be bought when boys are playing 9 holes of fun golf together. So that made it fun. And as far as the golf went, yeah, it was a bit of a pillow fight, to be honest, because Rory looked lethargic and then he looked a little aggravated at the end. And Tiger is rusty. I mean, that is clear. He might be swinging fast, but he's not hitting the ball very square. And he fatted a few irons and sort of spun a few drivers. But it was good to see him back. And then, you know, Justin Thomas just looked awfully comfortable and Spieth fitted in like he normally does. And so that's why they were the powerhouse pairing that they are.
Yeah, Under the Lights was pretty cool, Greg. It gave us I thought that was smart to not only do it under the lights, but they kind of avoided some of the scheduling conflicts when you've got this time of year with the World Cup and college football and you've got college basketball. I mean, there's like so much going on right now, and they kind of found a couple hour window where they could get it in without much competition.
Yeah, it felt it was really nice. I didn't feel like I was missing anything. It felt like something I would watch. It was a casual watch. Like Kyle said, it's not a U.S. Open. It's not, you know, can't miss TV, but it's a nice watch. I don't think it's something that you're turning off. But the lights are an interesting thing. I get it for the window. I love the viewing window. But I did kind of feel like the darkness affected the golf a little bit. You had that situation early on where the shadows were affecting them. That happened a few times, but it was definitely different. It was cool. I don't think it's the best way to watch golf. It was dark, but for sure. But I thought they did a really nice job considering.
Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, Kyle, made 7 birdies in 10 holes. Gonna be tough to beat anybody, any team that goes out and birdies 70% of the holes, but they didn't find much resistance from the other side of this match.
No, they didn't. Tiger was not, I mean, Wait, what did he say at the Hero? He's like, I can't walk, but I got every shot. It's like, maybe not. Maybe not every shot. Maybe a couple of shots. Rory didn't. I mean, he looked not like the number one player in the world, which he probably hasn't played since, what was the last event? The Dubai?
DP, yeah.
Right.
Probably,
I mean, it's just 12 holes. Not even 10 holes.
How many birdies?
I thought he was disinterested. Now that's hard for me. That's hard to come through the TV. But he's texting right before he's ready to go out there. Put the phone down. Let's get into some action here. Rip it.
He got one good line in on Spieth where he said, I've seen you miss those with the putter,
which was, that was great. Yeah.
That might have been the best line, but he didn't even talk. Like he was just, did you say the word lethargic? He was just kind of like, I don't know. He was just there. Mark's right. JT, obviously, I mean, he carries stuff like this. He's so good at it. But I actually thought Spieth was kind of sneaky fun also, in a way that he didn't try to do too much. Sometimes JT tries to do too much. Tiger almost always tries to do too much in terms of like their, you know, jokes and banter and stuff. Spieth was, he was like really entertaining, I thought, just in kind of the way he bantered, and he was kind of getting after Tiger a little bit, but not blatantly. And so it was just, he was kind of irritating, which I feel like is pretty representative of what it's like to play against Jordan Spieth.
I would certainly echo that. You know, I watched him, I called him a couple times at the President's Cup, and he'll get under your skin fast. Not necessarily by what he says, but just by his manner and so how he approaches the game. And I did giggle at the quip that Rory made about having to hole out with a 4-iron or whatever. But when Rory hit one left of Kingdom Come on the one hole there, that par 5, and he goes, I don't know how to play this. Jordan, you always, yeah, what do you do? And that's, so that was sort of his moment. But yeah, Rory looked like it was Christmas time. It truly does. I mean, it was a big, long year. I'm sure he's exhausted. But when Tiger comes calling, you go, yeah, I'm going to play. I'm certainly going to play for this good cause. But it appeared that JT and Jordan were up for this. And Tiger just, you know, playing under pressure. I always say that. It's a different thing to playing casually with your buds. And his ball speed might have been up, but he was mishitting some balls pretty bad. I mean, there were a few iron shots that he missed by 20 yards short of the target because of mishits.
Yeah, let's circle back to, I'm glad Kyle brought it up, because that was the comment that Tiger made before the Hero after he had to withdraw, that he could hit all the shots, he just couldn't walk. Well, Greg, this was the time to prove those shots were out there. For the first four holes, there was nothing close that resembled a good golf shot. He did tighten up a little bit in the middle holes, but it was a lot of inconsistent play, as you could expect. Ball speed with driver was there, as Mark mentioned, but not a lot of great golf from the big cat.
No, I mean, really, the only things that made you notice Tiger was the ball speed. I mean, he was faster than JT. He was faster than Spieth on a number of occasions. Maybe there's one shot off the tee where somebody was faster. I think JT was faster than Rory by 1 mile an hour on one tee shot. But Tiger was usually in this, was second there, which I thought was interesting. But other than that, there wasn't a really high quality iron shot from him. It just kind of lackluster, if you will. The good shots that he hit on the green weren't tight. He made one birdie on number one. I think that was it. There wasn't too much to kind of turn your attention on Tiger other than the speed. But speed's a really important factor. And it's something you'd question with a guy that's getting older and a guy that's injured. And the fact that he has the speed is definitely a good sign. I'm not sure it means anything at all, but it's better than not having it. So that was the only takeaway from Tiger was the speed.
But Greg, to that, I mean, there were a few balls that he got up there into the high 170s, and he has been experimenting with a new ball, right, with Bridgestone. But what I was concerned about was there was one, he cranked it out there at 178, and he was behind Justin Thomas by a good 25 yards.
Yeah.
He didn't launch the thing as fast. So clearly there's something amiss over there, because it was coming off the face good, unless You know, sometimes balls skid with the dew in the air and stuff like that. You never really know. So, yeah, the speed was up there, but he'd get higher speed numbers, but was well behind the other guys playing approach shots to the greens. The thing that was the most impressive to me about Woods was those two high hooks that he hit on that one club hole.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was vintage. And that's almost... When I see that, I'm like, he's got to sort of play the game a little bit that way. Now, not playing on such wide corridors, but that's when he's at his best. He's the ultimate shot maker to me still. And he proved he had it. And so that was like, right, he might have all the shots, but under pressure, yeah, there were a few too many misses, in my opinion.
Well, we're going to talk about that one club challenge, the whole, I think it was the fourth hole where they played, all had to decide on a single club. They could not choose the same club. We'll get to that. But KP, the only hole that Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods won was the seventh. That made it that shrank the lead to just being down two at that point in a 12-hole match. Not much runway to come back. It got to desperation mode very early, and that's where JT and Jordan Spieth thrive. They're feeling it. They're loving on each other. They're pulling out all the fun stuff, and it's almost impossible to come back from that.
It was a reminder that I can't remember off the top of my head what their match play record is, but it's sick. It's really good. It's like 9-2 or something. President's Cup, Ryder Cup. And the hole, was it, I think it was 9 where Spieth ran up and pulled the ball out of the hole and flipped it to JT. Like he was waiting. He was like circling the hole, waiting for it to drop. And then he picked it up.
Yeah. That's where he asked him how they felt, Rory and Tiger. Right.
Yeah.
And feel like right now
that's sort of what I'm talking about. If Spieth was kind of jabbing at him, and they didn't respond. It was kind of odd that they just wouldn't engage him. Spieth is so annoying and just
he really is
hilarious.
He's like the little dork that sort of at school, you're like, that guy. I mean, that very same hole that you talk about where he got the ball out the cup, he's off the green. It's this lightning thing down the hill, and he calls JT, and he goes, well, you know, I guess if I get on this line, it can't miss, right? And JT's like, yeah, I guess. And the guy nearly boxed him off the green. Oh, crazy.
And then he almost made it. He was left it like 2 inches short. So, yeah, Tiger and Rory had some problems late, especially. And then Spieth and JT, the way they closed it out was pretty emblematic of how the night went, or just how their careers have gone. Spieth hits this spinning shot out of the pine straw and puts it to, I don't know, seven feet. And then JT hits this sick hooking wedge that backed up all the way to the hole and he was going to make if Spieth didn't. So those two shots at the end were pretty nasty.
They're the two best shots of the whole thing, Greg. And so Spieth went. So when they have the lights out there, if you get far enough offline, they have to bring a guy who stands behind you and holds a bright spotlight, which
normal sport,
which is amazing. So we've got guy holding spotlight behind Jordan Spieth in the pine straw. Spieth hits it to 5 feet, which frees up Justin Thomas to hit this. How do you even describe this, Greg? To me, this looked like a wedge that he drew 20 yards and spun it back 30 feet on the green. And like, humans can't hit these shots.
No, I think he hit it. I don't really think it spun back. I'm from my
like
view.
Around.
Yeah. Kind of to the side. Okay. It had a lot of spin on it and then caught a slope. Right. Cause the one thing he said was, imagine if it just went straight into the bunker. And I couldn't quite tell, but it looked to me like it didn't miss the bunker by very much. So I don't know if that curved 20 yards. I think that probably curved 5 yards, but had left spin on a left slope.
So sick.
With enough spin. So it was really cool. I don't think in a tournament situation he would try that shot, considering what he said. Imagine if it just went straight. But I mean, he's just playing around, which is really what the whole thing is.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is playing around. And it's cool to watch these guys play around. Which leads me to some other thoughts on the kind of whole general concept of the match. But yeah, those were really cool shots. The disappointing thing is that it ended it, even though Rory hit a really good one in there too. But it just, it ended, it took a long time, but it ended really quickly, in a way. Yeah. You know, 10 holes in like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was. You sort of got the feeling that Rory and Tiger were getting the last rites from about the sixth hole already, and it kind of needed to end, really, to be honest. But that wedge shot, you talk about JT trying that stuff. I mean, remember the Players' Championship when he won?
Oh, yeah.
Two shots he hit there with a 5-wood on 16 and 18. He's not to move the ball through the air like that, and that was vintage. And, you know, I had to laugh because Spieth is out of position off the tee again, and I kept on seeing him in the shadows, and I'm South African, so I guess it reminded me of the Lion King, right? And there's Mufasa pointing to a little Simba going, you see there where the shadows are? You don't go down there kind of thing. He's coming out of the shadows yet of like 5-6 feet and then making the putt to win. And then the fact that he actually acknowledged that to Justin to say, yeah, well, that's kind of how it goes with us. That was also a little jab, but to his teammate.
Three birdie putts on 10, all within 7 or 8 feet that got there in very different ways. Spieth from the pine straw, JT with this incredible ropey hook, and then Rory McIlroy, who just throws one a billion feet in the air right at the flag and drops it on it. So.
And he said that too. I guess, well, I'm just going to kind of go right at it. Like, I guess I'll be the boring guy here.
Yeah. Lots of different ways to get it done. I want to talk about the One Club Challenge. I want to talk about, obviously, where we're going to see Tiger next and a couple of other nuggets before we get out of here. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. KP, this One Club Challenge that they do, this ends up oftentimes stealing the show, especially if the match is not super competitive. And the way that they do this is each golfer can only use a single club for the entirety of the hole, including putting with it. And they go in order. And once one of them chooses a club, another guy cannot. So, for example, I think Jordan Spieth was the first to go. He says 4-iron. Well, now Justin Thomas can't take 4-iron. He ends up taking 5-wood, which leads Rory to take 3-iron. And then we eventually find out a couple of shots later that Tiger has opted for 5-iron. So this really demonstrates how insanely good these guys are at hitting a bunch of different shots a bunch of different ways.
I'm not exaggerating when I say I think the match would be better if it was just a, maybe not a one club challenge, but like a three club challenge. Because, listen, we see these guys hit driver, 7-iron every week of the year, right? It's 50 weeks out of the year. You're watching them hit just play regular golf. And you don't get a sense for how good they are until they start hitting like high cutting 3-irons to like 180 yards. You know, like it's a shot that us clowns could never even like comprehend. And they can hit shots like that. And I thought it was the most entertaining 15 minutes golf wise of the entire thing. It's just, and it puts them in weird spots and it creates better banter. Like the whole thing I thought was fantastic. And I got to say, Joseph Lamagna, who people should be following, he's a really good follow on Twitter and just a good dude. He has talked, and this is not like, you know, an original idea from him, but he's been pushing for like make an all-star weekend with all these players, give them insane shots to hit, chips, whatever you want to do. And his idea was actually to funnel the PIP money through that instead of this just absurd online algorithm that nobody understands. Just put all the money in All-Star Weekend, pay the guys through that. And it's more, first of all, it's fun, but it's also more, it's not as obfuscated by like, oh, what was this guy's Meltwater mentions on the internet from January to March? You know, like this is an absurd thing. So I hope we see more of that, not only at the match in the future, but also just, I think you could very easily put together an All-Star Weekend for the PGA Tour that would be a ton of fun.
Some of the situations we saw, Mark, highlighted by Tiger Woods having to step on a 5-iron, which includes him turning himself 30, 40 yeah. yards to the right and try to hit a huge hooky draw?
Yeah, no, that was impressive. I mean, I referenced them earlier. To stand there and the tee shot was incredible because I'm the kind of nerd that pays attention to this stuff, but it's a 5-iron and he had teed it up slightly higher than he ordinarily would on a par 3 if he's using a tee and whipped it straight off of the top of the tee. Didn't disturb the tee whatsoever, which speaks to the angle of attack he was hitting so up on this thing to launch it. And then he's in the other fairway and then he hits a high hook over a tree, which is not easy at all. What was surprising to me, and that sort of spoke to the fact that he's just not sharp, obviously, was typically he's the guy who's not afraid on the golf course. I've seen him chip with 7 and 8 irons at times when the modern day golfer just goes with lob wedge and turns the thing down, sort of de-lofts it. Where Tiger had this 5-iron then, and he's got a basic shot. He hit it exactly where he wanted to the second. So he had the length of the green to play up, and he just smashed this thing through the back. And I was like, that's not Tiger Woods when he's at his best. But that was incredible. And then to see JT go with a 5-wood and then try and carve the 5-wood in there, but get it up and down with a 5-wood too, that sort of speaks to his quality to me, because remember, that's what we did as kids, right? Where you play a game around the green with one club and you got to putt out and do stuff. And it looks to me like he's still that sort of guy that we can get out there. And he learns it from Tiger to go and take one club and just manufacture stuff. And the fact that he made a 4 on a par 4 with a 5-wood only sort of speaks to who he is. I mean, it was entertaining. It's nice to see. And for those folks wanting to learn, it's a great way to go ahead and learn about spin and speed and just creativity.
Real quick, Greg. The Spieth going after Tiger stuff is all fun and games until Tiger's the captain of the Ryder Cup in 2025, and he needs a captain's pick, and he leaves him off.
It's because of the match 7. Greg, yeah. So JT wins this hole with a 4, a 5-wood 4 times, which he told us afterwards. He says easy par was just 5-wood to get it done. Putts with it, chips with it from behind the green with Catherine Tappan and Jordan Spieth holding the rope above their head. It's just, we're already creating content for Normal Sport 3. It's unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really good point. I do think from a golf perspective, once you get around the green, the 5-wood's the advantage. Mm-hmm. I think there's a situation where a 5-wood, if you're a player who's practiced that shot, that might be the right shot in the place where JT was. It's a kind of an easy shot if you practice it a little bit. It doesn't take a lot of practice. You just kind of get your touch with it. So I do think he had a big advantage there, big disadvantage on his second shot. But all in all, it's a cool challenge because there's a lot of decisions to make. You know, do you want to have a club where you can do something around the greens? Tiger, I know. I mean, Tiger, Mark, to your point about him chipping with 7 and 8 irons, he hits 4-iron chips. Yeah. He did at the Masters this year. He was on number 14. He talked about it afterwards. He was long of 14. He hit a 4-iron chip, which is something he wrote an article in Golf Digest about years ago. So, you know, but the point is it brings in a lot of decisions. And when you have players mic'd up, you get to hear their thought process on it. So I do think that element's really cool.
I would, Greg, I've seen him, I've called it, hitting a greenside bunker shot like 35 yards a carry with an 8-iron laid like wide open, and he hit the thing to 10 feet. And yeah, he used that same 8-iron. I was on the call when he was down there in Mexico, last hole, ninth going up the hill. He's got a iffy lie at best. Big tree in front, uphill, and he carves his 8-iron out there, 30-yard slice, hits the green, spins in there to 10 feet. I was like, wow.
Oh, I remember that shot. Yeah, it's like spun all the way across the green.
He can. It's like a magic wand in his hand, which was surprising to me at the miss with that 5-iron. But to the to Kyle and the one club hole. Obviously, the guys who had the honor get to choose what club they would use. I think the only way you make this more interesting is if you have the honor, you look at the opposing team and go, all right, Tiger, you play with a 7-iron on this hole and you do this with a wedge or whatever the case might be. And then you start to get, and then they fire back with their selections and you make it a little even more creative.
I'm generally happy to bash a broadcast or a telecast, KP, but I got to tell you, the Brian Anderson, Trevor Immelman, Charles Barkley combination does it for me. Okay. BA gets to be like the straight play-by-play guy. Trevor gets to be the conduit from the fans to the players. And then Charles Barkley just gets to be Charles. And it works so good.
It's so good. I actually think that Barkley will bring like his gravitational pull will kind of bring BA and Trevor in sometimes where BA said that Tiger was getting a stroke on the seventh hole.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Charles like gives everyone permission to be like a little naughty.
Yeah. Because whatever they do in comparison to him is going to be like, it's like right. The thing where you don't have to, you don't have to outrun a bear. You just have to be faster than the slowest guy. Right. Barkley's always the slowest. I mean, the slowest guy, right? Like you just have to outrun him. So, the broadcast is, you know, it works. And I think part of that is that when they switched it to 12 holes, like there's just more, I think excitement around like, hey, this is not going to, we're not in for like 5.5 hours here. We're right. Just going to kind of get in, get out. It always goes quick. I mean, relatively quick. And Barkley is absurd because, I mean, he compared himself to Calvin Pete. He compared his game to Calvin Pete. Which is just like the opposite of what he actually is in terms of golf. He'll say stuff too, that you're like, Can you say that? Where he's like, hey, TNT has got 700 commercials to get right. In. And you're like, are you allowed to say that?
Well, he'll ask a question that you don't know if he's serious or not. And you're like, I think I have to answer this. I think I have to answer this seriously.
I tell you what, I giggled every time he said it. And he said it like three times where when he was talking to JT, talked about Alabama University. And it was like a low-key. I mean, when I first heard him say this, I'm like, he's got this wrong. But then I'm like, I don't know. This is calculated. And he went on a little JT bit on it.
For sure. It's fantastic. There can't be, if they format it right, and I think they are, there can't be enough matches. Like they're great. They're fantastic for what they are.
Greg, I think you had alluded earlier to maybe some tweaks or some things that some concepts that you would like to see different. Would you like to circle back on those?
Yeah, I think for one, a lot of the things you guys mentioned, I agree with. I like reducing the number of people in the booth. But I don't think we need to do all the stuff on the tee, all the interviews. I think some of that stuff is still forced. While this is the best one, there's still too much forced fluff. And I would love to see, you got four guys in individual carts, and I would love to see them go play an 18-hole match, but take the total time from whatever this was, 2 hours and 45 minutes or 2:45 for 10 holes and make it 3 hours for 16 holes, but just cover the golf. And all of a sudden you start to get a sense for their interaction with one another. They're interviewing each other in a way throughout the entirety of the round. And it felt to me like just four buddies kind of playing golf together, but they happen to be legends of the game. They happen to be the top four in the PIP this year, which is just, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. But if you just let them play golf a little bit more, I think you'd have something. I'm not sure if this works best in the business model, and I understand that. But this, to me, the one downside I would have from it It's like when you play a round of golf yourself and it takes 4 hours, but it feels like it takes five because you're waiting on a group in front of you constantly, or it's a 4 hour round for a twosome where it takes too long in between shots. I don't think the total time is the problem. It's how much waiting you're doing in between. And I feel like there's just still too much waiting in between.
It's how much time it feels like.
Right. Right. And I mean, I really enjoy this. I could see this being on, if it were a little less fluff, if you just let Jordan Spieth, yeah, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods go play 18 holes, this could live for 100 years on YouTube. Right.
I mean, 100 years. Do you think YouTube will be around in 100 years?
In 100 years, yeah, YouTube will be embedded in your brain and eyeballs, and you'll just think of the match seven, and you'll close your eyes, and it'll just be projected in your brain.
What I thought was hilarious was this sounds like I'm kidding, but I actually did think it was funny. Was watching Spieth drive a cart. He just always, like, he can't do anything like a normal human.
No. And they are helpless to leaving towels and clubs and everything all over the place. They like have they cannot do anything, but they need a caddy out. They need somebody out there with them.
Like, if you just followed Spieth around with a camera, just in his normal, like, regular everyday life, it would be preposterous. Like, the way he just does everything. He's driving, like, the first hole, he was driving like out of control. He's taking selfies even after taking the pledge. Like, he was out of his mind. I think it's just how he lives life. Like, I think it's just who he is, which is there's a reason it's the FDA has not approved Jordan Spieth as a drug.
Any other format items before we talk about what is next, which, spoiler alert, PNC Championship is next. Any final thoughts on the match here?
Yeah, I said YouTube. I meant the YouTube. Sorry.
Right.
The YouTube.
That's good correction there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Mark. Well, we're talking right now on a Saturday, and next Saturday, a week from today, will be the PNC Championship, mm-hmm, which we will see Tiger and Charlie and a variety of other family pairings battling it out again. So after no Tiger for a long time, we got the tease of Tiger at the Hero, and now we're going to get Tiger for 2 weeks on television.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he comes out. I feel like, knowing Tiger, the little bit that I know him and the guy that he is, he knows now how he feels under pressure, and he's going to go work hard. I know he's sort of playing it off a little bit and playing it coy to say, well, I'm just going to drive the cart and Charlie's going to play. Tiger's got a whole bunch of pride about him. And remember, they came up a buck shy last year to the dailies, I believe.
Well, I'm yes. Sure,
yeah. John and little John will be back, and Padraig Harrington's been playing some great golf this year, and so it's going to be a fun event. It always is. But I'm certain Tiger will be sharper for various reasons. During the daytime, it's going to be a lot warmer than what it was in the evening, even though it was outside of Tampa. But I expect he's going to go and log some time now, because he has an idea of, okay, this is what it feels like under pressure. And so I look for Tiger to be better, but Tiger, I think Tiger's going to be the byline. I think Charlie Woods is going to be the headline the whole time.
Yeah.
Because Twitter is salivating after this. And just a little tease, I did those swing thoughts, it was called, with the PGA Tour. Well, we've done a deal to do another 8 in January. And one of those is Charlie Woods. So if the tour are identifying this sort of stuff, then you know how attractive this guy is as a property. So I have to think there'll be more eyes on Charlie than there will be on Tiger.
I think Mark's right. I think Tiger talked about it tonight. He's like, yeah, Charlie outdrove me a couple of weeks ago. And I think the last couple of years, I'm not going to spend more than a minute talking about it. How old is he? 13, 14, whatever he is.
Yeah. 13.
The last couple of years, it was this like kind of fun, not silly, but just like a cute, like father, son thing. I think Charlie's going to be kind of nasty this year. Like I think he's going to be lights out, like really good. I don't know how old he is. He looks a lot older from the pictures at the Hero. So
he's 13.
He looks older than that. I think
the hormones are setting in, judging by the way he was looking compared to Charlie a year ago.
So I think he's going to be pretty sick. Like he's going to play some good golf.
Think about how he looks at 13 compared to what Tiger looked like at 13.
It's not even a contest.
Tiger was so skinny.
So skinny. I mean, at 21, he was so skinny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but Charlie's not.
Tiger at 13 was drinking milkshakes and eating cheeseburgers. I'm sure he's got Charlie on vegan protein and stuff like this and working out in the gym. Tiger's marched this road, so if his kid's serious on playing golf, hell, he's got Yoda in front of him. All he's got to do is right. What dad tells him to, right?
All the opportunity in the world if he wants it.
Yeah, it's all there.
It's all there. Okay, gents. Well, anything else that we must talk about? I didn't think so. All right. We're going to put a bow there. And we'll be right back at it again next week. Obviously, PNC Championship and whatever else happens in this crazy world of golf. For now, big thanks. Producer Troy does all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman, available on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Greg Ducharme at @TheRealGFD. Kyle Porter at @KylePorterCBS. And you can find me at @RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am ready.
Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!